you ready for a video? All right, why don't you take your seats for a few moments? Pay attention. A little while ago, you would have seen some of these, so now full attention. I joked with the guys in prayer this morning and said, we're going to have a pop quiz afterwards with names and addresses. So make some notes, and let's listen to what God's got for us this morning.
Daniel and Marcia Yu, we and our four kids moved out to Thailand about 4 years ago in the far north of Thailand, up in a place called Chiang Rai. And we planted a church, and we've, you know, engaged in a lot of different marketplace and educational type ventures as well. And, you know, we have a congregation of expats. And over the years, we've also actually grown in just in terms of our Thai congregation. And, you know, we're at a stage where, you know, probably at some time soon, we're going to be launching a Thai expression. But, you know, this past season of COVID, the last 2 years here, have been quite challenging. And Thailand actually finds itself in a place where it's a little bit behind some of the Western countries in terms of vaccinations. Churches had been shut down since March of this year. Initially, the COVID, the pandemic wasn't so bad here, just in terms of the physical virus, but it's been really restrictive. And I think for a country like Thailand that has been, you know, so reliant on tourism, it's been a really difficult time for the country as a whole, and not just the churches. And, you know, we're seeing kind of the trickle down effect of that, as you know, the tourism industry is taking an impact, regular people in the street struggling as well, just with the financial impact. We actually heard from somebody who's well connected with the Thai government that, you know, the place where we are in Chiang Rai, which actually doesn't depend as much on the tourism industry as much as places like Bangkok and Phuket, the suicide rate is quite high, one of the highest in the country. So it's been a difficult 2 years here in Thailand. You know, when the pandemic first hit, you know, just in prayer, God gave me this prophetic picture of a bridge being built, a cobblestone bridge, but then it being halted in terms of construction. And then this kind of infrastructure, this invisible, you know, modern type of bridge coming out, and it being the kind of structure upon which the continued construction of the cobblestone bridge was going to take place. You know, I think we received a similar prophetic word from Clive around that time period as well last year. And it really has been about that. So a lot of the things in terms of just gathering, there have been interruptions in terms of us going into rural villages, unreached people groups, and doing evangelism, even ministering to some of the youth ministries that we have at the schools. Those things have been shut down or interrupted as a result of COVID. We really felt like what God is wanting us to do is actually build into the infrastructure. So I think initially we kind of sensed that for our church in terms of just a community and a sense of family and love and sacrificial love in particular. And that's been necessary as we've actually experienced some loss of people who got stuck overseas and weren't able to come back, families that were separated, people that have lost jobs. And so the church needed to kind of grow in that regard in terms of love and care for one another and a sense of family. And then the second thing is, you know, just in terms of the practicals, right now we are currently engaged in a new building project. We leased a space, a new space that's in the city. And this opportunity came about because of the pandemic and some of the economic struggles that a lot of people are having here. And so we feel like there's a lot of preparing that God is wanting us to do just in terms of, you know, logistically and practically being able to disciple the people that he's going to send our way. We do feel like there's going to be a bit of a refreshing season, an open season, a season of light and revival, where many people will come to faith, and we're trusting and hoping for that. And there's a lot of preparing that he's wanting us to do. And we think that just in this kind of last leg of the pandemic and its restrictions, I think God is also going to be working on us spiritually, where he heals old wounds and restores and renews us in preparation for the task ahead. The thing that I've been feeling for you guys at Coastlands is just the global significance that you guys have. especially in the region that we find ourselves in Asia Pacific, in the Indo-Pacific ocean region as well, even with this new AUKUS pact that you've entered into with the United States and the UK. And it's something that I felt for a while now, a couple of years, just in my relationship with Ben and Trina and just in our conversations with him about what you guys are seeing. And I just feel like there's an interconnectedness that we share, especially in this region where we find ourselves. And, you know, the Coastlands Church has got this long history of disciple-making, evangelism, church planning, and mission, very similar to our sending church, Southlands, back in California. And I think that there is a bright future ahead for Coastlands in terms of having an impact, not just in Australia, not just in Adelaide, but globally in terms of what God is doing. And, you know, you guys are coming out of a season of the pandemic, and, you know, I'm familiar with some of the history of Coastlands as well. And I feel like it's going to take a boldness. I think it's going to take a willingness to completely surrender yourselves to God and give wholeheartedly of yourselves, you know, not just in terms of resources and time and those types of things, but just in your hearts and in your spirit, saying, Lord, whatever it is that you might have for us, we want you to have your way. We want to see Christ's name lifted up. We want to see him made much of in all the nations, and we want to see him glorified. And if it costs us everything in order for us to be able to do that, we're willing to do it, Lord. And I feel like it's a changing season for Coastlands, from a season of needing to be careful and needing to be just very mindful about the practical things in terms of how to build and how to restore and how to get to a place of health. And now I feel like it's a trained up warrior that needs an assignment and needs to be led out into battle.
And Ben, I keep hearing your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I just feel like for Coastlands during this moment, kind of what Dan was sharing, I feel like there's going to be a merging between just what we see on earth and what we see in the spiritual. So where maybe Coastlands has had a tendency to lean on one leg more than the other, but that, yeah, he's calling for a merging of the two. And so when you think of things that are tangible and in the physical world, that actually there's a piece of the spiritual that God wants to deposit into that too, and vice versa. Like those things actually, like his kingdom comes not just up here, but also in the things that are around us, in the earth. The things that are beautiful all belong to God. So I just feel something around that for Coastlands, and I don't know what that will look like, but yeah.
He's in control of all things. He's trustworthy. And if you surrender all control to him, you're going to be able to observe wonderful things that the Lord has planned and prepared.
One of the guys that we've also, another church we've been to in recent times or over a couple of years, was in the UK, a town called Poole. Does anybody know where Poole is? Ever heard of that? South of England, and on their beautiful beaches, which are freezing, mind you, but, you know, compared to Australia, but southern beaches. And Matt took some time early morning to be able to share with us the other day. So I'm wondering if we can play that video, Oscar. And that's from Matt Hosier. And I asked all of these guys three questions. What's happening in your region? What's happening in your church? And for an encouragement that they might want to give to us. It was unprompted. It was just a normal interview, say hello type of thing on Zoom, and we recorded it. So listen to the heart of what's coming through from those places. Take it into your heart. Maybe write some notes if you want to, but also be listening for the encouragements that come to us. Are we good for that one? Okay. This is Matt Hosier from Poole in the UK.
I'm in a town called Poole on the south coast of the UK, and lead a church called Gateway, and involved with helping give some input to other churches here in the UK and do some things internationally as well, although obviously have been stranded in the UK for the last couple of years. I think things feel much more normal because most of the restrictions came off in July. I mean, Corona still dominates the headlines a lot of the time, on constant debates about what happens next, about whether kids should be vaccinated, about whether those of us who are over 50 should be get booster shots, even if we've been double vaxxed, all that kind of stuff. It's still kind of the leading story. And then obviously the knock-on impacts that have been upon education, upon mental health, upon the economy, all that kind of stuff. So, and I guess it's similar for you that the pandemic is still in many ways the big news, but a lot of life does feel a lot more normal. The mask mandates and all that kind of stuff have gone, although in lots of environments people are still choosing to wear them. And we still see some of the tensions and division that all that causes, because all these measures have sadly caused people to polarize. And managing that, I think, has been challenging. It's been challenging in society at large, and at times it's been challenging in the church as well. I think it's a real mixed story. So a lot of people would be saying that they're struggling to regather their churches. My friend Andrew Wilson put out a Twitter poll a couple of weeks back and got about 1,000 responses. And the vast majority of people who responded said that their attendance in terms of Sunday gatherings is far less than it was before the pandemic. So I think that's fairly common. At the same time, I'm talking to a lot of people who are seeing both some Christians who are shifting around, but also lots of unbelievers who are starting to explore. So I think there's some really encouraging signs there. And certainly in our context, we've felt encouraged by that. And we have bucked the trend a little bit in that our Sunday attendance is now back to where it was pre-pandemic, which is, I think, fairly unusual. But we're seeing so many new people amongst us, and just trying to think now about how we kind of properly welcome and integrate them, because our normal systems of doing that have not been operating for the last 18 months. Yeah, so I think it's a mixed picture. And I think probably the pandemic has accelerated lots of trends which are already evidenced both in society at large, a lot of which actually are very negative, but also in the church. So I think churches which were struggling and needed to be pruned, that is happening. And I think churches where perhaps there's more life, there's signs of extra life beginning to bud and fruit. So it's a very mixed picture. Yeah, well, again, I think there's probably a lot of parallels between our two situations, Ben. I think it does become culturally more and more challenging to be faithful to the gospel in our particular context. So I think lots of the things which we would hold as non-essential to the gospel message actually are increasingly jarring with our society. And so to minister and disciple and witness in a way which is full of grace, but also full of truth, which is full of gentleness, but also absolutely unbudging, unyielding on the things we shouldn't yield on. I think that's probably the kind of the big story in a sense of what we're all dealing with and we'll have to face in the coming months and years and decades. So to pray for that kind of gospel faithfulness, because at times it can feel it's just hard work, isn't it? And it's easier to shift and give ground on things which we shouldn't give ground on. So I think to pray for that kind of gospel faithfulness. I'm teaching at the moment through Jesus' instructions to the seven churches in Revelation, and the encouragements in those, and also the warnings just feel so apt for us in terms of the things that Christ warns the churches about cold-heartedness, about sexual immorality, about idolatry, as well as commending them for the things that they've done well. And I think, that just feels so relevant because we're faced by those challenges in our context as well. Yeah, well, I think I'm always encouraged, Ben, when I speak to you, especially in terms of your hearts, not only for the place where you are, but for the nations of the world. And Australia looks a very isolationist place at the moment, because your doors are literally shut to the rest of us. And that can be a dangerous place to be for Christians, because it can have, I think, an emotional and mental impact in terms of shutting doors in all kinds of ways. And so I love the focus that you have, Ben, in terms of wanting to see the gospel advance, talking about church planting. I know you're talking about involvement in other nations, other regions, some closer to you, some further away. And that really excites and encourages me, because it speaks of gospel advance rather than isolationism and shutting the doors. So I think my encouragement to you there would be keep thinking that way, even if at the moment practically you can't travel anywhere. And I know there's even been restrictions within your own nation in terms of where you can travel. So even while you're kind of restricted in that way, not to be restricted in your spirit and your godly ambition for connecting with and serving and reaching different regions, new regions, different nations of the world. So I think well done in that, and keep pushing on in that.
Awesome. What a great encouragement, hey? There's so much in these. So I know it'll take a bit to maybe you want to go back and listen to these afterwards when they're online. But there's such a deep depth of relationship and speaking through. Isn't it interesting how isolationist we're being perceived by the rest of the world by shutting people out, you know? And yet their heart is so stirred when they hear about people who are in a church community desperate to go beyond that. I don't know if you can hear the thread coming through, and maybe I've listened to these reports a couple of times now, but there's some really key threads coming through that are starting to even impact the way we think about the gospel globally. And Coastlands as a church has been a church that in the past has had a heart for the gospel to go across the nations, but sometimes we've missed out on how we can engage our city, our region, our undertaking here in Australia. And over the last few years, I really sense that God's been starting to sharpen us towards how do we sit in our city? How do we engage our community? We've had community care programs and different things, but also every week there's been a constant encouragement towards you to engage the places you work, the places you live, the places that others are coming into, that you're made available to by God. That's been an ongoing engagement. But then when it goes from here to the rest of the world, we don't want to be those who turn up in a nation ill-equipped. We want to be those who come into that place of being able to be effective ministers wherever we are. And I know that that's what God's been doing across our community. And it's just great to hear that it's such an encouragement to those who are around the world. All right, we're going to try engaging with Vaughan again.
All right, here we go.
Vaughan, tell us a little bit about what's happening in America and what you've been through in the last little while.
First, I just want to say, Lord, I thank you for getting us through the technology issues and prevailing over the enemy, Lord. I'm so grateful to see my friend and my partner, and I'm so grateful to see the church there, Coastlands, Lord. So just have your way and let us overcome many of these challenges that we're facing, Lord. That's what America is like right now. It's challenging. There's distractions. There's things that are trying to get in the way of the gospel. People are divided. People have put things that are secondary as primary. Christianity has become heavily politicized. It's hard to see that we're the people of God and the community of God, and we are citizens of heaven. So it's been extremely challenging over the last couple of years. However, I feel like there's been a great opportunity for the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we saw in America, Vaughan, is that you and Mary have cultivated an incredibly authentic church community in an incredibly challenging region of America. But what's happening in your church at the moment?
So yeah, we've seen that this last season has just broken some things up as far as what is church really supposed to be about. Why are we gathering on Sundays? What has God called us to actually do? How have we fallen short? How have we depended on ourselves instead of depending on the Lord and on the Spirit to be leading us and guiding us, compelling people to come to Christ, and serving the Lord instead of being served or seeking to be served all the time? So we're just seeing all the things that we read about in the scriptures and in the gospel coming to life fresh, and we're seeing people coming out of addiction. We're seeing people being open and repenting from things that we're struggling with, and it just seems like it's behind the scenes, but it's at the forefront of the move of God right now. So we're excited, but we also know that there's a long way to go on this journey.
Wow, that's so good to hear. And so how does that sit against the context of all the challenges that the nation of America has been struggling with? I mean, you haven't just struggled with a pandemic. You struggled with, there's race issues, there was financial issues, there's government change. How's that all set?
I think it's just making everything more real for us. I think all these issues have always existed. But now when the church is supposed to be the light and the alternative and the hope for people, and the world is crying out, our nation is crying out for hope. Again, I feel like what we're seeing is maybe the church wasn't quite as ready as we thought we were, or as strong as we thought we were. it was easy for the church to say the world has all these issues. And then when people started getting sick, when people started dying, when you couldn't travel, when you couldn't work, and the world was looking to the church for guidance, hope, direction, I think we found a lot of our church folks more in line with the world than we were in line with the kingdom and our citizenship in heaven. So it's caused us to do some repenting. It's caused us to figure out how we want to serve the Lord as things open up and close back, so on and so forth. It's caused us to really consider what are we really giving our lives to and what kind of church we want to be. And again, I think a lot of times we look to the big church, the mega church, the most popular church to kind of drive the ship. However, I think it's maybe some of the smaller churches and maybe some of those who have been doing more of the right things without a lot of visibility that we're seeing. Those are the churches that are strong. Those are the churches that haven't had to change their doctrine and haven't had to change how they want to minister to people. And I feel like we're somewhere right in the middle of that, where we've seen a lot of good things that we're happy about. And then it's been clear that there's some areas where we need to just get in line with the Lord, get in line with the Spirit.
Awesome. Do you have any encouragement for us born here today that in coastlands in Australia?
We hope that you guys can hear it. Like Ben mentioned to the church there, coastlands, again, we love you guys. We're praying for you. Ben is the only man that's preached in our church that I did not have a chance to really connect with and be there the first time they came in. He came in a very spiritual way and spoke some things into our church that have borne a lot of fruit over the last couple of years. Ben, we love you, brother. And our time in South Africa together, you know, I feel this strong connection with you. So I'm grateful that I get to share this with your church. This is out of the book of Isaiah. Hopefully it will resonate with some of you guys. This is Isaiah chapter 42. It says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out nor raise his voice nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens, stretch them out, spread forth the earth, that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand." It goes all the way down to verse 9. I encourage you guys to read it. But as I was in Isaiah this last week, not only because we were praying and talking, but I just feel like this idea of calling you, this idea of Jesus, it's obviously it's speaking prophetically about Jesus and how His ministry is not going to be trumpeted. It's not going to be when he came, it wasn't going to be this thing that everybody saw and people are falling out. It was just this presence of God, this Spirit of God, this wisdom, this Word of God, and the life of God. And that's been my experience in knowing you, Ben. So I'm just believing that for your church, that it's not the church down the street. It's not another church. It's what God is doing in you guys and bringing forth righteousness, bringing forth justice. And the fact that the Lord will literally hold your hand. I've got messages over the last couple of years where you've spoken things into our lives. So I can only imagine what's going on there in coastlands. So I just hold Isaiah 42 for you guys. I hold you up in prayer. And the same thing I'm praying for our church is that you wouldn't be waiting for some other church. You wouldn't be waiting for some other group of people. You wouldn't be waiting for a more qualified person to lead a particular ministry, but that you guys would just know that God is calling you in this time, whether seen or unseen, to take the land for Jesus and to help, and that people would be able to look to you guys for the answers that our world so desperately is seeking right now.
Amen. Vaughn, thank you so much for preparing that in your heart and being ready for that and pouring that out to us. We're gonna digest that and pray for that as we go into the next season. What can we be praying for you guys right now as a church?
Just for men to be raised up. You know, we were on a mountain with our men today, about over a dozen of us, and that same spirit of the kingdom, the church. And I just feel like the Lord is calling men. Women are faithful. Women are praying. Women are leading. And I know that they are competent, qualified, and called by God. But I also feel like in our particular church, the Lord is calling men. And if men are looking to others or deferring to others or, again, waiting on others, God will call us and then qualify us and develop us. And I just had that sense, even today, being on the mountaintop with our men, that this is who the Lord wants to build our particular church through. And I just want our men to receive that and then trust God to do the things that only he can do. There's only so much we can do in our studies and our programs. I mean, Ben, you said this to me. It's not about the script. It's about the scriptures. It's not about our plans. It's about the presence of God. And I just want that to be poured out on our men so that they are sparked and inspired and encouraged and bold and step out. So if you guys could just be praying for us for that. Our women need that. Our families need that. Our children need that. And I think that's what God has next for us, brethren.
Will you pray for us at the start? Can we pray for you right now into those areas as a church? We're going to pray for you and agree with you. Lord, Father, we just hear the heart and that is connected here, Lord God, the Spirit that has done it across thousands of miles, Lord God. But Father, we pray that what's being spoken out, what's being declared and proclaimed, we thank you for those in Vaughan's church, family members who have stood strong, the women, the families that have stood strong in that place, have held the faithfulness, held the guard at this time. But Lord, we pray for those who may not have taken up what you have put on offer, Lord God, what you have put before them, who may not have stepped into the place of carrying everything that you've intended, Lord. And we join with Vaughan and his community right now, Father, as we know they're going to be praying across this day. And we agree in Jesus' name that you would cause a supernatural work, a supernatural calling that would come upon those men to step up, not just into the normality of Christianity, but into the fullness of what you've intended. And so, Father, we pray as Vaughan puts that boldly out before them as a charge, as I know he does, Lord God, that it would be a stripping away from the things that they've turned to. And Father, they would turn only to you, Jesus. And we just pray there would just be a courage and a boldness. There would be a gentleness, an authority, a kindness that comes through you alone, Jesus, that would come upon those men to lead families and love them in the way that you've intended to love, Lord God. And Father, I just pray for those women, those marriages, those families that have been desperate to see you come through, Lord God, that they would see great fruitfulness in this time, that they would see husbands and fathers step up, Lord God, into the fullness of what you've intended and be a part of shaping a new future, not only for those families, but for the whole church. In Jesus' name, we declare, and in Jesus' name, we agree today. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Vaughan, thank you so much for being with us today and taking the time and pushing through all the technical difficulties. And now we're going to be praying for you guys tonight. And I know you guys are going to be praying through the day tomorrow. It's not quite Sunday there. I know you're really warmed up now. You probably won't sleep at all. You'll be so adrenalized. But we really thank you for being with us, man.
Thank you. And sorry about the technical difficulties that were on my side. We love you guys. We'll be praying for you. And we'll see you. I'll bring my family out there to see you guys in person as soon as possible. You guys take care.
Amen. We are just so thankful that we can have these partnerships and such an authenticity. It's pretty real, isn't it? We need to take a breath after that. We're suddenly being encouraged, and then we're praying for things. You can sense in Vaughan's environment a lot of people coming out of different places, gangland, war stuff, right out of prison situations where there's been huge disparity and absence. In men stepping up to lead their families and even being present at all. And suddenly there's this wave of like, he literally grabbed them, took them up a mountain on Saturday. And I don't know if you hear how Vaughan speaks, but I don't think it was a nice little chat. I think it was quite direct, you know, about what I don't think I've ever heard, you know, a Vaughan not be direct. So it would have been very direct about, hey guys, this is the moment, step up. But I love how, don't you love how as he's reading out Isaiah 42, you sense that also they're taking that on for themselves and saying, hey, we got to be led by the hand, by God. He will lead us into a place that is safe and that is powerful. One of the things I was going to like pick up in the thread there, you just hear about this unstoppable gospel, the things they've been through in that nation.
We're just so thankful that we can have these partnerships and such an authenticity. It's pretty real, isn't it? You need to take a breath after that. We're suddenly being encouraged and then we're praying for things. You can sense in Vaughan's environment a lot of people coming out of different places, gangland, war stuff, right out of prison situations where there's been huge disparity and absence in men stepping up to lead their families and even being present at all. And suddenly there's this wave of like, he literally grabbed them, took them up a mountain on Saturday. And I don't know if you hear how Vaughan speaks, but I don't think it was a nice little chat. I think it was quite direct, you know, about what, I don't think I've ever heard, you know, a Vaughan not be direct. So it would have been very direct about, hey guys, this is the moment, step up. But I love how, don't you love how, as he's reading out Isaiah 42, you sense that also they're taking that on for themselves and saying, hey, we've got to be led by the hand, by God. He will lead us into a place that is safe and that is powerful. One of the things I was going to like pick up in the thread there, you just hear about this unstoppable gospel. The things they've been through in that nation. How divisive some of those things could have been. And you hear just this forward thinking heart towards what God might do. And knowing that a people readied by God and willing, not perfect, are actually the answer. And that encouragement to me just warms our hearts to know we're not alone in this. As we put out in Vision Sunday a couple of weeks ago, we're not alone in thinking, if we're available, would God use us? And then it gets more direct through our friends across the world saying, don't look anywhere else. I think it's a real Aussie tendency to look for someone else to do it, to be the kings of intention. Hey, I'll get around to that sometime. And then suddenly it's actually like God saying, no, I'm talking about you. And that really comes through in what Vaughan's saying and what others have been saying today. And that heart of, are we really willing? Are we really willing to respond to Jesus alone? It's easier if it's just Michael or one of the guys we're talking about today, but are we really willing to look Jesus in the eye and say, what have you called me to do? And walk him. In Acts 18, Paul gets this moment where God, in all the midst of all the challenges he's facing, and you get the sense that they've faced a lot of challenges, as we have in certain places, but the greatest challenge is actually against the gospel being shared. That if we know the power, then we know that the enemy is going to try and stop the advance of that. But in Acts 18, after all that Paul had seen and all that he'd walked through, he ends up in Corinth, and he ends up seeing the Jews of the day were really against him, but then they... leader of the synagogue gets saved. And God says this to him, and it says in verse 9 and 10, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, and you know when God speaks to you directly, he's not going to be using any mediatories. He knows, he wants to let you know a message. And I sort of feel this for us today. In a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. And it's like God, you know, past, present, and future, he has people who are in our cities. He has people who are ready to be saved in our cities, who are in exact positions that he's placed them to protect us as we share the gospel. And in the future, he's got people that he's going to call on. He's going to change their hearts. That is the power of God that goes beyond what we can see. What we're called to do is not be cautious in this next season, but be incredibly courageous. That's come out through just about every word. They didn't speak together, these guys, and come up with their encouragements for Crosslands. It's interesting that they're so sharp on be bold, be courageous, do not be cautious. Puran, just with a smile on his face, saying, hey, why don't you be like us? Just go for it. He's planting three churches, and they've only been out of lockdown for 2 weeks. That's about spreading and strengthening what carries the gospel. There's a countercultural response. You hear in Matt Hosea's voice, someone who is an incredible teacher, incredible theologian, his urgency to say, we are up against it. Lots of ideas can just be accepted, but will they come against the truth of the gospel and will we hold it even unto death? The truth of the gospel is a countercultural response. We don't go looking for it to be abrasive. It's not the people. It's the spirit that holds nations and people's lives. But we get an opportunity to respond to what God's doing. We get an opportunity to be absolutely focused on him and his truth and allow that to define our lives. How many building projects do we hear about? Puran, when Hayden and I were driving to the airport with him, we're still talking about this dream of this land in Kathmandu. Land is so expensive in Kathmandu, you just don't get availability, and particularly not for churches. You might be able to survive with a commercial interest there, but it's so expensive and it's all in US dollars. And yet to hear him now, you know, and I got the feeling he'd told this story a few times, you know, maybe over the 10 years he'd been there praying that God would release land so that they could have a, because they've got a growing church that they could bring and people come out of the villages and they need to come to a church. And he's in the middle of that. And to hear him on that moment saying, God is faithful. We couldn't do anything through a pandemic except express the gospel. And he has not changed his plan. He's delivering what he always said. He hasn't been averted. He hasn't been restricted. He's just right on time. Daniel, taking hold of a building in the middle of Thailand, Chiang Rai. And like Benny's been there a lot more than I have and knows the context of Thailand. But you don't get buildings in that place. You know, in the West, sometimes it can be conjured how we get things to happen. We know in our story, it has been God alone. But I'll tell you, in those places, it is shut out. You can't commercially get hold of those things. You cannot get those things without the hand of God moving and the money of God and then the way he wants to bring money through coming. And so, you know, Thailand, thinking about taking hold of, what is it like to have a building right in the midst of where it all happens? When we were in Thailand in that space, and I don't know if we've even mentioned this to Hayden, but Hayden will remember the engagement. We walked into a marketplace with a number of other people, and the presence of God, I just felt the presence of God so thick, I could barely stand up. And I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know whether we were meant to be praying for people or doing. I was standing on this corner in this marketplace, and I actually rang Trina because she usually knows what to do. You know, Trina, what am I meant to do with this? It was so strong. I don't know if I've ever experienced that strength. Daniel tells me the other day, hey, Ben, you remember that experience you had in that marketplace? Our building on one side is towards that marketplace. On the back side has another alleyway, and there was a word we had at the time that delivered it. I'm like, God, your specifics are incredible. But we just watch on in awe. We get it through a dimly lit understanding, but he is the full of light. The consolidation and the cultivation that is going on. Church plants, building projects that mean that there's an establishment happening in that place and the new people coming in. Did you hear Matt Hosier coming back? One of the times when we were over there in UK, one of the cry was, we're trying to bring through all these Christians in who Christ is, but we don't seem to have a lot of people being added in the UK right now through radical salvation. Suddenly, it's flipped. It's now like, yeah, Christians are moving around doing what they're doing, but we've got new people now saying, is this the way that we should go? What an encouragement that God is not averting his plans. He is completely on it. And all we get to do is say, God, would you do that in our life? Your kingdom come, your will be done. What does it take? Courage, being ready that we might be a countercultural response, and being ready that we might be consolidated and cultivating his kingdom alone. The gospel through the church, establishing his kingdom. It's always been the same. It never changes. What in your life and what in my life needs to be available for God to use? There's natural things that he's given you, natural things that have been put in place that he wants to use as a door of opportunity to engage the people around us, but be ready for what God's called you. Today, you might have heard through nations something that stirred your heart. You might have not known anything about Thailand. Suddenly there's something in your heart, or Nepal, or something in your heart has grown for one nation over another. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go and live there, but it could mean that. But primarily what it's meant for me is someone who's based in Australia is that I have a heart connection and I pray for them often. I communicate with them often because they're on my heart. God will do that in us because he's done it in his churches across this time. Tonight, as we get to pray together, we're going to pray for churches. All of those churches have more prayer points than we've put out today. And we're going to be putting them out tonight. We're going to pray together about them. Each of them are going to be sharing those prayer points. But even in our own nation, there's one we're going to be sharing tonight, which is that Graham and Gail Rowe, who went from this community up to the beautiful, what they call God's country, up on the border of New South Wales and Queensland. I know they were going up there to retire. And what God's done in them over the last couple of years, and then it's in connection with another couple, they're now stirring to plant a church in that region. Remember where New South Wales is right now? Absolute lockdown. And we're going to be hearing from them tonight. We're going to be praying into that scenario. Because as you hear from Mark, who's who's going to be working with Graham in that context, you can just sense the stirring of God. Again, like Vaughan said, there's been an opportunity to weigh up, what is church? What really matters? Who's really central to all of this? And what is he really doing? I really encourage you to be there. But even in our own midst, we're going to be partnering with people around our own nation who are planting churches of a culture and a type that you've heard about today. I don't know about you, but I've been so encouraged by what we've heard today from those churches because, again, what we said at the start, the same things we're believing for in Australia, maybe a different context, are happening and delivering the truth that we desire for our own nation in those places. Let's be encouraged today, Coastlands. Let's take hold of those words. Don't just let it be this Sunday. Let it get into your heart. Go and listen to them again. Understand what God's saying to the church across the world and let it grow on us so that we can be better citizens here in Australia as well as across the world because our citizenship is in heaven. If you have never encountered Jesus today, you've encountered him in the way that he works across the world. And back to the start, it's if you believe in your heart, confess that he is Lord and believe that he is risen from the dead, he will work in you and through you to deliver his work. And it will have immense gospel expansive power. You might have heard all sorts of things that would fulfill your life, but this is the one that can fulfill your life and expand and deliver you to places you would have never thought of.